Peloton Sessions, you're on with Candace,
Delia,
and Jazz
for another virtual quarantined Skype, Zoom, whatever you're using, another virtual episode. What's up, ladies?
What's up? What's
up? Y'all getting prettier and prettier. I see the lip color, hair twists, earrings on. I'm trying to make an impression.
This is the highlight of my quarantine looks when we get on this video. Like, this is the most I do, so.
Right. Yep. It's so much effort, right? Mm-hmm. So what's going on this week? We wanted to do something a little bit different. Kind of different. I mean, we always take the time to think and reflect about our last week and our last episode. This time we invited our listeners and our viewers into that conversation, and we got so much feedback, so many comments, so many questions, so much to address, so much.
But thank you.
It was a lot for me, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, thank you to everybody who slid in our DMs and, you know, had some questions, had some feedback, right. You know, the comments on our YouTube, our Instagram. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for staying engaged, because this is something that is, I keep hearing this phrase, like, it's not a moment, it's a movement. And really it is, like, it's something that we live, so we continue to talk about.
Basically, I guess, Jasmine, you coined this term, the emotional detox. Let's start with those questions. And then I want to pose the first one to you, ladies. How are you emotionally detoxing? I think at this point in the race, it's just, you got to have something else going on, something outside of the movement to talk about. I think on the internet's calling it black joy. How y'all detoxing?
Yeah, I thought about, like, I was thinking to myself, you know, a lot of us, we take our physical health seriously and we'll go on a detox or a cleanse, you know, for our digestion, for health, to lose weight, whatever. And we take that care physically, but we don't take that same care mentally. And when you think about it, like, stress and race-related stress, it actually causes your system to be overloaded with toxins. And actually your thoughts and your emotions, they metabolize as toxins in your body. And that can have an effect on your physical health. So if you're not careful, if you're not doing those mental detox, emotional detoxes, like ridding yourself of toxins, of stress, of anxiety, sadness, grief, all of those things you have to process and work through. If not, it's gonna build up in your system, start to manifest physically, and then you have an even bigger problem. So you might think you're doing yourself a favor by just, you know, tabling it, shelving it, whatever, but you're really not, because sooner or later it's gonna come back to bite you in the butt. And when it does, it's not pretty. So that was kind of like a question I posed to myself, like, what can I do to make sure that I'm not emotionally constipated, but that I'm emotionally regular and, like, having that input. We get a lot of input from social media, but we need an outlet. We need output as well so that we're healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like Black women in particular tend to have those kind of illnesses related to what you were just mentioning before, because of all of the things that we as a group tend to have to endure? Do you think that we tend to have more stress-related illnesses or that kind of thing?
But I think the thing is, it's not talked about. Like, stress and depression, anxiety related issues are not talked about, especially amongst Black women, because we are the ones, we're the caretakers, we're the givers, the ones who we're last on our to-do list. We make sure everybody else is good. Meanwhile, we have the world on our shoulders, and then, you know, we don't necessarily have the tools or the capacity at the end of the day to see about ourselves.
Good. So then how have you been emotionally detoxing?
That was step one, me realizing.
Okay, so that's the process. That's the step we need to go. So have I been doing this? What are some healthy ways? Delia, what do you think? What are some healthy ways that you might pursue an emotional detox?
It's hard, because you have to first acknowledge, like Jazzy was saying, first you have to, like, realize that that's the space that you're in and whether you're doing it or not. My sister and I, we have this conversation about emotions and just being in tune with your emotions and how you feel. And growing up, she was always very in tune with her emotions. And I always looked at it like, I don't want to talk about all that. I don't want to think about all that. I'm good, you know? And she would ask me, like, how are you able to just move on? But a lot of times I wasn't just moving on. I was just burying it. And then it would manifest itself in other ways, right? And it would, like, explode later on. So I think first for me is just the process of me learning my emotions and learning the language that goes with my emotions and what I call them and how I speak about them, and then not being like afraid to say that I have these emotions, big or small, right? And then for me, I think that I've enjoyed like riding my bike. So I just got a new bike at the beginning of like COVID-19. It's red, it's a Schwinn, like it's cute and I love it. And I've been riding my bike like 2-3 times a week. And so that's helped me just kind of like get outside, get in the fresh air, take my mind off of whatever's going on. Cause physically I'm worried about riding this bicycle. I'm worried about not falling over or like maneuvering through traffic. So it gives me something else to kind of like put my mind on for 20 minutes or whatever, you know, and I'm just outside having a good time. So that's one thing. I think some kind of like physical activity, I think, might help some people, whether it's a walk or a bike ride or a run or, you know, just a quick exercise or something in your house. I know physical activity can help people, you know, do different things. So that's helped me, aside from like, you know, my regular scheduled TV and movie watching.
Yes, which you do really well. I do. You are an expert TV watcher.
What about you?
It's Candy? An occupational hazard though, right?
Yeah. I mean, I learn as well. I learn.
Right.
Candace, what does your self-care regimen look like, or how do you process?
Right. I think recently I discovered that exercise is good for the same reasons why Delia mentioned it. Your mind is focused on like not crashing. I bought a row machine at the beginning of COVID. So I just be like rowing along and just trying to keep my reps up, and that's all I can think about. And then I also signed up for online therapy and counseling, which is a big step as a Black woman. I was like,
I'm so proud of you.
Yes. And you know who got me hip to that being okay was a friend of mine who was a Black man serving in the military. And he was like, yo, like I go to therapy all the time. And I was like, whoa, really? Like big Black man is admitting that? Mm-hmm. And then he said, you might need to do that. So I think that those two things, and then writing, I think if you can enumerate like how you're feeling, you can write down like the great things that are happening, things you're grateful for, as well as the things that bring you pain. That is very, very, very helpful.
Yeah. I think what Dee said is really important, naming your emotions and labeling them, because a lot of times you'll know that you feel angry, but that's like surface level, you know, that's like tier one. You got to dig a little deeper. Like what are you angry about? Is it frustration? Is it disappointment? Is it, you know, get a little deeper and use some colorful adjectives to name your emotions. And that helps you process and like unravel what you're feeling. So journaling is a good way to do that, which I do journal. I give myself that. I journal. But yeah, that's a good way to like process, and that's an outlet to get those feelings out of your system and to see it on paper and to be able to work through it that way.
You know what? We are very lucky to have the resident counselor, like, who's always going to be like, well, guys, this is how you feel, and this is what you can do about it. Like, I feel some kind of way. That was very good, right?
Yeah.
Right. So now that we kind of put this on the table for our listeners and our friends who are watching, you need to emotionally detox. These are the reasons why, these are the ways. And then you can tackle all of the questions that people are asking you, all of the stuff that you see on the news from a healthy place. So let's look at some of those questions. Here's one that I saw and that I'm trying to wrestle with. Maybe y'all can help me work it out. What do you do with the Black Lives Movement, Black Lives Matter movement, and then Christianity and the faith, right? Is that too big? Let me make it small.
Particularly, that's a whole episode series,
right?
Well, the question that I'm like seeing other people that I've had posed in different ways, and I'm seeing other people wrestle with, especially like on social media, is if I have this belief system that says like justice, that God is a God of justice, and then you see people that are committing crimes or that are labeled as criminal and called murderer or felons, I see a lot of people that tend to overlook the fact that, for example, George Floyd was being murdered in broad daylight. Well, if I justify, well, what did he do? Or what crime did he commit? Or should we give justice to all these people that actually do have criminal records? And how do I balance that with what my faith tells me about sinners or about holding a higher standard? And so I always have a big trouble, you know, even reading those comments, because I'm like, you know, I don't know if my Christianity is too liberal or their Christianity is too, whatever, conservative, if there's a political place for Christianity, I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it's, and I do get frustrated sometimes when I see those questions, or because I don't know how to answer those questions without sounding or without coming off as like angry. But initially my response to those is why are you focused on the, I guess like not the symptom, that's not the word I'm looking for, but you're focused on the result of something that happened as opposed to why it happened. Like you're more focused on the fact that people are going out there and doing these things that you think are criminal acts or are criminal acts and whatever. You're more focused on that and you're not really focused on why those people, how it got to that point. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And then I feel like a lot of times we're very selective in what we say is okay, or we're selective in what we're angry about. So, I mean, there are tons of examples throughout history of riots and uprisings and criminal activities that have happened on Black and white sides. Mm-hmm. But then there's only an outcry of y'all are not supposed to do that, and that's a sin, and that's not okay, when it's on our side. Mm-hmm. So I have, it's hard because I kind of just want to be like, you know, but then at the same time, I understand their question, but then I want to help them kind of, not I want to help, because sometimes I really don't, but I want to just be like, look at what's happened before all of this and why people are getting so upset and why they're getting so angry. Mm-hmm. Like we said in our first episode, what kind of protest is okay? Like, what are you okay with? Because we've tried all the ways. All the ways have been tried and done and happened. And it's never been okay. None of them are ever okay. So it's, where is your focus? Is kind of where my question kind of sits. And I don't know. I don't know where to go from there.
Right.
Yeah. It's a big topic. One quote that I heard from Dr. Tony Evans, he said that the culture is mimicking the failure of the church. And I thought that was so good. And he's absolutely right, because everybody knows this, but Sundays are like the day where there's the most division, especially in the body of Christ, because you have Black churches, you have white churches, and few in between with a mixed population. So there, it's a very clear divide in the church. You have a very clear divide, and there's no little to no empathy for the Black Lives Matter movement or Black issues in general from the white evangelical church, historically speaking. Like, they've never been sensitive, empathetic, like they've never had their ear turned to our issues. And so it's difficult when things like this happen and we have this huge uprising and there's this, again, a divide in the church because people don't know what's going on. They don't know how to handle it. And it's just, it gets really, really messy and murky. And the people that you would think would be on a certain side or show compassion or show empathy or show care because that's what Christ would do, it doesn't turn out that way. And so it ends up being frustrating, especially for Black women like us, like believers who are like, oh, no, like that's not what we stand for. Like, how come, why is this such a murky issue when there's like clear right and wrong, the issue of life? Like, there's so much, And it's hard to navigate. It really is. And it can get very frustrating having those conversations, especially with Christians, I found. It's sadly more frustrating having those conversations than with people of other religions.
You know, I don't mind a question. Just from as an educator, I don't mind a question. It means you're trying to figure it out. But where the question starts, the premise around it, the narrative around it, I just kept finding it very shocking. Like, what do you mean? But what about his crime? Or what about their crime? I'm like, we all watched a man being murdered in cold blood in broad daylight, which is basically watching a lynching. Like, we watched a man being murdered. What else are we talking about? What else are we talking about? And then if we did, you know, get into the gray area of it, like, why do you get to draw the line on what's okay for someone to be murdered for and what's not? Like, this is a country of trials and law. So that's never gonna be okay. And so I always wonder, like, how are the people that ask that question or pose those arguments, how are they justifying their Christianity? Because there has to be a justification there. You can't talk to Jesus every day and still come out not seeing a man being murdered. I find that really, so that's always my question back. Well, did you talk to Jesus about this? Surely. Do you know him after that? Like, do you know him? Do you know this man, Jesus? Yeah. That's the biggest question that I saw a lot, and that I think the internet is wrestling with, people are wrestling with, churches are wrestling with it on a Sunday. There's a big church here in St. Louis where the pastor got up to talk about it and one fifth of the congregation walked out.
We've had pastors on these apology tours for the past 2 weeks. I mean, it's just, it's bad. And if you don't have anyone in your church leadership, if your church leadership it's not diverse, like, consult some people before you rush to put out a statement. I think a lot of companies and a lot of churches are just jumping on this bandwagon, putting out statements willy-nilly. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, it's okay to be silent. In a world of social media where everybody has a platform, everybody wants to have a voice, everybody wants to get in there to make sure that they don't exclude any of their patrons, make sure they're still getting that money. It's like, slow down, process something, consult somebody before you put out that statement. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself right on that apology tour with a lot of these other white evangelical pastors. It's sad to see. It is. It's really, it's disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, what about those signs that say, like, silence is violence? Like, maybe people, like, when I was protesting, people were, white silence equals violence. That's what the signs are saying. So maybe they're feeling that pressure because of
the But it's not people. It's not silence for any like, it's not absolute silence. It's process some things, understand some things, learn some things first, and then put out a statement. Like, don't rush to just jump on this hype, this bandwagon that everybody's on just to say something and get it out there, because that's more detrimental in the long run than if you do a little bit of homework, figure some things out, and then put out a statement.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of companies sending out emails, and one of the big things I've noticed is there's two, like, main things that kind of are the same, and it's one is like, we stand in support, we stand with you, and then the other one is, and we've donated to such and such. Mm-hmm. And while I appreciate the sentiment, it's usually the same two or three organizations that I see that people have donated to or are talking about donating to. And so then that's where I feel like it falls a little flat to me, because I'm like, why is it those three? Why is it only those three? Have you researched? Have you looked at communities in your area where your headquarters are or where your companies are that might need that assistance, as opposed to just donating to this big organization for Black people? Have you actually gone through, like Jazzy was said, and talked to your employees who are African American, talk to your brown and Black employees and ask them, hey, how can we make a difference? How can we stand with y'all? Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that question is being asked. I feel like the question is just, do you stand with us? Yes, we do. And the question isn't being asked of, how can we stand with y'all? What would you like for us to do? You know what I mean? And so then like these big announcements and these apologetics are happening without even asking us what we need and what we want. Mm-hmm. And that for me is where it feels like, you know, it's just empty words at that point. Yeah. I want to see real stuff. I want to see real people going into real places and donating real money to communities. I want to see people on the board. What does your executive board look like? Mm-hmm. Are there Black and brown people on that executive board? Then I don't need your apology. I need you to hire some people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I want. If you asking me,
that's we what asking. We did. I mean, like we talked about in the first episode, when we started this conversation, it starts in-house. That goes for your household, your family. It starts in-house in your company, in your church. Wherever you are, you already have a group of people in need. So start there. You don't need to go to all of America and apologize to all the Blacks. Like, start in your company and check and see how people are doing support in that way. And that makes people feel valued and seen, rather than your CEO cutting a check to some distant organization that you have no affiliation with. Like, start in-house.
Yeah. Mm. That's really good.
And that's when you find people that are getting into some hot water, you know, people doing, they're maybe doing too much. And then you've got people wearing things that they probably shouldn't be wearing.
You can talk about Starbucks. Should we talk about Starbucks? And the clubs and the thing is, let's talk about Starbucks, but I need to put a disclaimer out there. I worked at Starbucks for 2 weeks. I love Starbucks.
Wait, we've been at this table before, because remember a couple years ago with the Starbucks incident, and that's when you shared that you worked at Starbucks. So yeah, welcome back to the table, ladies. Let's talk about it again.
The milk carton thing got me at Starbucks. That's why I brought that up a few weeks ago. I didn't know my colors. But Starbucks made a mistake, and they tried to fix their mistake. I think me and Jazz were watching the comments on their Instagram page, because I think they had told employees they can't wear their Black Lives Matter t-shirts, right? And then they went back and said, we have a Black Lives t-shirt matter that we're making, and you can wear that. And then everybody on their comments were like, why y'all take this right away from people? But one thing I did admire about the response of Starbucks, at least on Instagram, is that every person that posed a question to Starbucks about the decisions that they were making and how they were going back and forth, they answered every single comment. Somebody was working all day, round the clock, answering every comment. I don't even answer all my comments, and I only get about two. Like,
I was just surprised to see Starbucks in hot water once again. Like, a couple years ago, 2018, I think it was, when we were doing our podcast and we talked about, you know, the incident that happened back then with the two Black men. Mm-hmm. They closed their stores for a day to have racial equity training. And that was a big move. That was a bold move that we had not seen from any other company of that magnitude doing something like that, taking it seriously, saying, hey, we value our customers of all colors. We're gonna close down. We're gonna take that L to do some training. And you know, we saw that and we were like, wow, like this is a step in the right direction. Only to find out 2 years later, we're back here again. Like, what happened?
It didn't take, like a bad perm. Didn't take.
But it's like Dee said, like if your executive board, your board of directors, your executive team does not look like your clientele, your base, your whatever it is, like that's a problem. And I question Starbucks. I wonder what their executive team looks like that stuff like this mm-hmm. keeps happening.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. And I think that's why Starbucks has ended up back here again, why a lot of companies, when they try to go forward, they take three steps back, because they're asking themselves how to solve a problem that is outside of themselves. And then they're giving themselves answers. And then they get out in the real world and we be like smacking that crap away, rejected, denied, declined, fail.
Do not pass go, do not collect $200. No, thank you.
Yes. And then you tell them don't collect $200. They say, well, we'll give you $2 million. Does that make it better? And then we pause and think about it, because I mean, $2 million is a lot. But I think Jasmine is right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to, yep.
I hope they learn. I mean, we don't need these companies out here talking about self. What are we going to do about this problem? Let's see. You know, you have people, hire people, like Dee said. Like, come on now. We got to do better. Like, let's.
Got to let us in the room. We don't necessarily want your money. We want access. We want to be in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, so let us in the room so then we can have real input. And we can have real access to then begin to make those changes that need to happen. You can't do it by yourself. Yeah. This isn't something where just Black people have to share the burden or have to hold the burden and white people have to hold. It's not separated. We both have to do it. But in order for it to actually move forward and progress, we have to be led into the room. Mm-hmm. You know, or because that's just part of the way that everything is made until we can start making our own rooms.
So I don't know if America is just slow. They're just not getting it. The wires aren't crossing. But I mean, recently, in recent years, we've seen the feminist movement pick up steam, right? And maybe that was just too much for America. Like women, oh my gosh, we have to give women a seat at the table. And then a few years later, 2020, it's like Black people too? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just too much.
Buffering.
I don't know.
It's overwhelming.
How about on a very personal level, like how do you feel like these issues are kind of taking a toll in your personal lives or your everyday life?
I think just one thing is it's been very hard to concentrate and to focus when there's so many fires to put out there, you know? Like it's just so distracting. It's hard to show up every day and give your best and give your full attention when things are literally unraveling in our community all around America. It's hard to focus.
That's valid. Yeah. How about you, Dee? How do you feel like these things are kind of taking a toll?
It's the same. It's hard to like just maintain daily life, you know? Mm-hmm. Where you're like, okay, you wake up and you're like, all right, I got X, Y, Z to get done. But then you look on your phone and another article pops up of something else happening. And you're like, yeah, never mind. I'm going back to bed. You know, like, I'm done. You know, but then like, but you got to get up. And I mean, I'm a single woman. So like, I have that luxury of laying down if I so decide to for a couple of hours. But you know, you got moms and dads out here who got to go to work. They got to get up. They got kids. They got to make, you know what I mean? And all of that just normal everyday life stress on top of everything else, it's too much. It's too much. And so I feel like it does take a toll. It does add to that stress. It adds to that worry. It's hard. It's really hard.
And in a pandemic, like that hasn't gone away.
That fact is overlooked.
It's still going on, guys. Still wear your mask outside.
Still wear your masks, people.
Well, I think, like Jasmine said, there's so many fires to put out. And then we're quite educated and very outspoken, and we have platforms on platforms. And so there feels that need to, let me speak to that, or let me speak into that, or let me, what should I be doing about this issue or that issue? And the fires keep coming, right? And I think that was something I felt kind of burdened about when I watched the news or these kind of things. Like, well, is there something more I should do or give or say or process or reflect on in myself or educate? And recently I come to the conclusion that God is already prepared for this. This is, none of this is a surprise for him. And I think that he's already like placed on the hearts of people what to do or how to cope or what their contributions should be. And if we just focus on like what he's called us to do, what he put in front of us, the fires that you see popping up, or they will be put out by other people who have been called to those fires. But if we can just focus on our little part, our little thing, put those blinders on to the best of your ability and do your job. Do your job and do it well, do it with integrity until the smoke clears. Mm-hmm. The smoke always clears. God is always faithful. That's my
word. That's a word.
No, but that's real, because not everybody can do everything, right? Yes. You shouldn't be trying to. Yes. So you, what you're called to do, what you are designed to do, what skill set you have, what influence you have, that's where you work. That's the area that you move into. And if you find an open door somewhere else, then you can move through that in faith. You know what I mean? But like, trying to do all the things is also not going to be helpful to you or anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So and I like that. It helps. I think for me, it's helped me to kind of not have as many of those days where I just can't get out of bed. So I'm like, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Like, what are we going to do? You know? And then I'm like, oh, no, wait, I have this skill set that God has been preparing me and telling me to do and to work on. Let me focus on my skill set and let that put out that little fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. And if you got two, but I guarantee you, you ain't got that many lanes. If you're feeling like you got 15 lanes, you need to reevaluate. That ain't for you. That's above you now.
It's above me now. But you know what? We are a strong people. We are resilient. We are beautiful. We have a contribution to make in this world. And despite everything that's going on in the Black community, I'm just constantly reminded, we drive the culture in America. Let's be honest. Black people, we contribute so much to our society. And without us, where would we be? Like, come on.
Where would the world be? You know how many cultures we drive, actually?
Even in Korea.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't have hip-hop. I mean, where would music be without Black people? Just music alone. Come on.
Exactly.
Wow. Man, you know what? I want to recommend to our listeners and our viewers? Go back, listen to this at half speed, especially when Jasmine is breaking down how to emotionally detox. Get your notebook out, press pause, reflect on how you're feeling and how to get rid of some of those toxins that are slowly killing you on the inside. Because that was a deep dive right there. That's a good message. Yeah. That's a good word, right? Well, is that time? Whew. As always, we love you guys. Don't forget to share, subscribe, like, rate, comment. All those things. We really do appreciate all the comments we got this week and all of the notes that people have been sending us. It's been really, really great to see that you're listening, that you're watching, that you find this helpful. So continue to do that. Until next time.
Until next time.